Good to see you again this morning. You can be seated. I've been enjoying these classes. I trust you've been getting some help, getting some answers. Hallelujah. I think it'd be good to start by praying. Believe in God for utterance. It's always important that we do that. I found that there's teaching and then there's impartations. And impartations can be made through teaching. It can be made a number of ways, other ways as well, but it can be made through teaching. And so when a speaker speaks by the inspiration of the Spirit, it tends to bypass the intellect of the hearer and go right into the heart. Just kind of go plunk, you know, right into the heart and lodges there. And so that's what I'm believing for this morning. And because sometimes we've been talking about the spirit of faith, you know. The spirit of faith is more something that's caught than it's taught. It's not something that, it can be taught, but it has to be caught. You can be taught it and not really operate in it, you know. So anyway, let's believe God. What do you say? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and thank you. This morning we can call you our Father, and that you've made us your children. And we thank you, Father, that we have been invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. We come to the throne this morning and we obtain and receive. And we thank you, Father, for this day and these students and your plan for them. And Father, everything that happens today, may it bring glory and honor to you. And may there be the highest flow that you've planned for this day today. Father, I thank you for making deposits into our spirits, truth deposits and impartations. Lord God, we ask you for utterance in the name of Jesus. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. And Father God, may we all not just be hearers of it, but doers of your word. We know that this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So, Father, may we learn to walk this life of faith and to please you and finish our course. And we'll be careful, Father, to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, good. Let's go to 2 Corinthians again this morning, the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. We're going to pick up where we were yesterday. And as I said yesterday, where we'll end up, yea, no man knoweth. But that's fine with me. I used to have to understand everything before I got in the pulpit. But my faith is growing. I trust him more than I used to. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. In the context of this verse, remember it said in verse 8 through, especially verses 8 and 9, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And then he said in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We having the same spirit of faith. It's interesting. Having is not, although it is present tense, but it's not just present tense. Having is continuous tense. So this is a lifestyle. It's not something that we do in a time of trial, you know, where we're going to have to use our faith. That we having, in other words, this is an ongoing thing. If we say we're having a series of meetings at the church, well, that means it's an ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. And so somebody said, well, they keep having babies. Well, that means it's an ongoing thing. So having is not just something that, you know, we don't just live, in other words, we don't just get bailouts by faith. We don't just kind of use our faith whenever tests and trials arise. This is a lifestyle. It's the way we live, way we roll. And so God's in that way of living. He said, this is where he meets us, is on the point of our faith. So we can see here, and we spent some time talking about this yesterday, that Paul said we have it. We have it. I believe it's really what he's saying here is we all have it, but I don't think everybody is expressing what they have. It's a little like the love of God. You know, we've met Christians sometimes who they are born again, of course, have that love in them, but they're not expressing it. Maybe they're holding grudges or something. Well, let's learn to express it. There's a passage in the Bible here. It says, I'm not sure if I even know where it is right now. It's in 1 or 2 Corinthians where it talks about examine yourself to see whether you're in faith. There's a verse, I think it's in 2 Corinthians. But the point there is there must be a way that you can look at yourself and tell if you're in faith or not. You know what I mean? If you can examine yourself to see if you're in faith, then there must be some indicators. You can look at some sort of indicators that we're in faith. And so, you know, one of the ways you can tell you're in faith is by just examining your own words, your own actions. And I know a man came to me recently in the church, and he said, because there were some things just for a number of weeks, actually months, just some things were really, really getting messed up in his life. And he came recently, and he said, you know, I was at work because I'd been praying about this thing. It's like, Lord, I'm not making my connection. And he said, the Lord spoke to him just as clear as a bell. He said, you haven't been in faith. He said, listen to the way you've been talking. You know, look at how you've been frustrated about this thing. You know, why is it not working? You know, that kind of thing. And he said, I was shocked, you know, that I hadn't been in faith. And so it's easy to just examine ourselves and see. And so the spirit of faith is something that is visible. It's not something that is just in the heart. And you can have it. You cannot be operating in it and still not do you any good, although you have it. You have it on the inside. But so we want to learn to express our faith. Faith without expression is dead. It's not that it's not faith, it's just dead. So we must be mixing actions and expressions with our faith. And faith needs full expression. You know, Pastor Morgan last night, I was talking with her after the service about some of the things she was sharing. And then at the end, she said, you know, about different ways to express your faith and obedience and confession and joy and all those things, praise. And then she said, and you know, the best thing to do is you can mix them all together. And that just reminded me of some things the Lord just has talked to me about. And that is that faith, if you give faith just a little bit of expression, then it'll take longer for things to manifest. But if you give it full expression, I mean, it'll speed things up. It'll be like a creative momentum. You know, rather than take real long, how many of you know in a lot of things we can take a long time or we can do it real quick? Like maybe an area of obedience or an area of maybe something God said to do. Or maybe, how about this? Here's an example. There are people get in swimming pools different ways. Some people, they say, well, I know that water's a little cold, you know, but here we go. And they just go ahead and boom, they just jump right on in, get it over with. You know, but other people, they ease into it and they prolong their misery. You know, it's just like, well, that's the way we can be with faith and obeying God. We can just jump on in and abandon ourselves to the actions of faith. Or we can just ease our way into it. And everybody's wondering what takes so long, and it's us. Amen. So when I got right with God in high school, probably I think I was 15, and I just decided, all right, that's it. I'm going all out for God. None of this playing games anymore. It ain't working for me. And So I just dove in with everything. I mean, I was radical. I changed radically. I mean, just like almost overnight, I was trying to, from 1 week or a couple weeks to a couple weeks later, I was wanting to sneak out of the house to go to parties until I fully dedicated my life to God. I was telling Mom, me and Walker Schurz, we're going to go downtown, Hagerstown, Maryland. We're going to preach to the pimps and prostitutes about Jesus. It's like, whoa, you know, what happened to you? Well, they found out I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and fully surrendered my life to God. And I went all out. By the time I was 26, I was standing in the full-time ministry. And, you know, everything's different for everybody, but the point is, I just went for it and been going for it ever since. My family thought it would wear off after a while, but now they say I'm worse than I used to be, and that's just fine. I mean, it's a good thing, but they think it's bad. But anyway, so we having it. Tell your neighbor, you got it. You need to express it. Learn to express it. Amen. And hanging around people that that express faith with a spirit of faith, it'll help us, doesn't it? Amen. Well, we talked about this yesterday, and we went through a lot of different things. And one of the things that we saw was there's a particular, like the Lord said it to me this way. He said the spirit of faith is the personality of faith. You can believe something in your heart and say it, but it doesn't even sound like victory. You can sound like you're depressed. You can sound like you're a victim, you know. But that's not the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is the personality of that faith. And Romans 15:13 tells us part of what that personality is: joy and peace. Joy and peace. In believing God, we're already in joy. We're not waiting to see what we're believing for to be in joy. We're already enjoying it on the inside. You need to know that about faith. You're already enjoying it on the inside. And you're living in joy and you're living in peace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and we spent a lot of time with that yesterday, just looking around some different things. And you know, you can tell when people have a bad attitude. I remember a story one time of a minister. I don't know if he did this or just was telling a story about somebody else. One of his some kids, they were one of their friends was sleeping, and they took some Limburger cheese and smeared it under his nose. Just dabbed it under his nose a little bit. He's sleeping, didn't know they did it, and he woke up. He's on the couch in the living room. He woke up. He's like, oh my goodness, it stinks in here. And he went out into the kitchen and he said, my goodness, it stinks in here. And he went into another room and he said, man, it stinks in here. He went out on the front porch. He said, the whole world stinks. Well, the moral of the story is, how many of you know if the whole world stinks, then you're probably carrying the stink with you. Some people, they're all negative on everybody. This person's not doing me. You know, if they would have done this, then I wouldn't be going through a hard time. And they're always complaining, grumbling. Amen. Judging everybody, upset at everybody, offended at everybody. Well, if everybody stinks, then maybe you're carrying the stink with you on the inside. Amen. The Bible talks about being washed in the water of the Word. You need to take the water of the Word and wash that stink off, you know. Clean your mind and your attitude of that stink. Amen. Hallelujah. When you do that, everywhere you go, everybody's lovely and kind, and you got the victory, and everybody's your friend. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So, but let's look at some more characteristics of the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. There are principles. Remember yesterday we looked at Romans 3, what was it, 25, I believe, or 26, whichever one it was, where it talks there about the law of faith. The law of faith. The law of faith is the principle of it. We've been studying for 35 years, myself, I'm talking about my wife and I, been studying the principle of faith for 35 years. All about how the principles work And we need to know the principles. If you know the principles, you can do these things on purpose. You know what I mean? I've known people, I've seen Pentecostal people. Actually, let me back up. My family, I grew up Mennonite. And I know you can't tell it now because the Lord knocked the Mennonite off of me. But I grew up Mennonite, and we didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We were all saved, but so forth. But we didn't know anything about divine healing or, you know, believe in God for healing or anything. Didn't even know it was ours. We thought you'd pray if it be thy will. You know, that's the way we were trained. Well, my mom had a condition. She didn't know what it was at first, went to the doctor and found out her gallbladder needed to be removed. I don't know about all that stuff. I mean, some situation. And she just said, no, the Lord's going to sustain me. I don't have time for that right now. And she just, without realizing it, operated in the law of faith. Amen. She believed something and said it, and it worked. And she never had to have her gallbladder operated on, never had it taken out. And then the symptoms all disappeared. But yet, if you'd have told her what she did, she didn't know it. She didn't even know she did it. How many of you know it'll work for you if you operate in it, even though you don't know the principles? But see, if we learn the principles, we can do it on purpose over and over again, and get miracles on purpose rather than by accident. You know, how did that happen? I don't know. I sure would like to know. I'd love to repeat it. But see, whenever we know, we need to learn the principles of faith. And the principles of faith are all the, believe in your heart, say with your mouth, and so many of the things we've studied in all these years. The principles of faith are in the Word. But there's also this spirit of faith. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians, the spirit of faith. And that's also revealed in the Word. We saw it. We saw it David yesterday. We looked at David, and he revealed the spirit of faith. Pastor Morgan last night was preaching about Caleb. He had a spirit of faith. The Bible said he had another spirit with him. And so, the spirit of faith is revealed in the Word. The man, the blind Bartimaeus, he had a spirit of faith. He didn't sit and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. He got up and he went after it. And that's the spirit of faith. There's a doctrine, I don't know what percentage of the body of Christ, maybe Dean, you can help me, the doctrine of sovereignty. I guess 80% or more of the body of Christ believes the sovereignty of God doctrine. Now, what that does, if you read the New Testament, very careful, the whole Bible really, but the New Testament, you'll see Jesus making a clear statement about something you see all through the Word. According to your faith, be it unto you. According, or as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And that's all through the Bible in one form or another. Even salvation, we believe in our heart and say it with our mouth. But if you look at that, very carefully, look at that statement, according to your faith, be it unto you, it totally takes the way they are teaching the sovereignty of God doctrine, it totally takes it and balls it up and throws it in the trash can. It's one of the most damnable doctrines in the body of Christ today. It is too tolerated. It's not called out enough. And to be spoken about as false doctrine. Now, you might want to say, well, what does the sovereignty of God doctrine mean? You might ask, what does that mean? Well, the word sovereign, if you look it up, like in a Greek dictionary or Hebrew dictionary for Bible words, you'll find that the word sovereign is not even in the Bible. Well, you better be careful about pushing some doctrine that you can't even find the word in the Bible. So you got to go to an English dictionary to find out what they're talking about. So what does it mean? You look it up in an English dictionary. It says chief, highest, supreme in authority. Well, we know God is the most high God. Isn't that right? He's the most high God. Now, the fact that he's the most high God, though, is twisted in people's doctrine because they think that just simply means he's running everything. He's controlling everything. I mean, if a tornado blows somebody's house down, that's an act of God. You know, if a baby dies young of cancer, that's an act of God. God is sovereign. And they take what the Bible says about God being the Most High God and equate it or translate that to mean He's running everything. He's not running everything. Amen. Satan is the God of this world. And he's doing a lot of things. God don't have anything to do with it. He would love to change some things. But see, he's not sovereign in the way people preach him to be sovereign. And he can't come down here and do something or else he'd be usurping man's authority. Because originally God gave man authority over the earth. And Satan usurped that, of course. And so now he's running everything. Not everything, not running us, but I mean running many things. Yes. Amen. So the sovereignty doctrine the message of faith needs to be preached even stronger than ever to these people that teach sovereignty, because it's not according to a God's will, some die and some being healed and so forth and so on. It's according to man's faith. That's the determining thing, the determining factor in so many situations of life. Over and over and over again, the Bible talks about things are according to our faith. We reckon ourselves dead according to our faith. We prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And so many different things the Bible talks about over and over. We forgive according to our measure of faith and the proportion of our faith. There's so many things. So anyway, I said all that to say, let me describe that this way. Being that God is the Most High God, does that mean that he can just do anything he wants anytime, anywhere? Think about the government of the United States. We have the highest office of the president's, government of the United States is the office of the president. But does that mean he can just do anything he wants anytime? Huh? No, he can't. And God's the same way. You might say, no, wait. But the Bible actually says, if you want to actually determine specifically how God operates his sovereignty, you have to go to, I believe it's Psalm 138, where it says there that he has exalted his word above his name. Psalm 138, I don't know if anybody's looking it up. It's somewhere there, verse 2 or 8 or something. It's been a while since I've looked it up. But it says he's exalted his word above his name. You can tell I didn't prepare to go this direction this morning. But we need to say some things. When you find the verse number, holler it out there. Verse 2, thank you. Psalm 138, verse number 2. He's exalted his word above his name. Now, here's what that means. In other words, if he said it, then he can't do the opposite. He has bound himself with his own word. Because his word is over him just as much. Amen. In other words, his word is how he operates. He has bound himself with his own word. He will not do what he said he will not do, and he will do what he said he will do. The Bible said he can't lie. God can't lie. And so if you want to talk about the sovereignty of God, the word of God is his sovereignty. Somebody said, well, he just heals people, whoever he wants, and others he doesn't. Well, no. He said sovereignly in his word, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. That's his sovereignty. He can't violate that. Amen. So it's according to man's faith. It's according to man's faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't know how I got into all that. I don't even know where I got started to get in on now. That doesn't really matter. But you need to guard against, as you walk out your life of faith, guard against that doctrine. You'll come into multitudes of people that still hold to the sovereignty of God. Now, I don't mean they're not good Christians and don't love God. They love God with all their heart. They're just not enlightened. And that doctrine has sent more people to hell. That doctrine has kept more people from receiving from God than just about anything else that you've ever heard. It's a damnable doctrine. Amen. Now, God is the Most High God, but that doesn't mean He's just running everything. Earth is, when Adam fell and usurped, and Satan usurped authority and took it away from Adam, Earth became like a rebellious colony. You remember the United States rebelled against England? England came over here to fight us and we won them. We beat them. Well, that's what Earth became whenever Satan usurped, Adam sinned and Satan took over. And so God's not down here running everything. Now, He waits to be invited by His people because He does have a will for everybody down here. But He doesn't push that off against our will. God's made us free moral agents. Amen. Somebody said, well, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? He can't. He doesn't have anybody down here to ask Him. There's a lot of people don't understand that. But Mark 6 is an example. Even when Jesus walked the earth, the Bible said He went to His own hometown to minister to people, and He could there do no mighty work. There's Jesus, couldn't do it. It's something He couldn't do. Why? And it marveled because of their unbelief. It was the unbelief that kept Him from doing it. Well, anyway, that's all free. Tell your neighbor, he won't charge you a dime for that. Amen. So the principles of faith have to be taught. I get amazed, absolutely amazed, how much this has been preached sometimes on Christian TV, internet, audios, and every videos, all kinds of media and churches and so forth, preaching the message of faith, and still the devil has kept about, I don't know, Dean, maybe 80% of the body of Christ is accurate. I'm probably more than that. I'm just guessing. But they still hold to that doctrine. Amen. Well, let's keep on preaching it. What do you say? I was telling Dean Graves before we came out, or as we were coming out, I said at Brother Hagin's memorial service, the Lord spoke to me and said, keep on preaching the message of faith. Amen. He said, the day will come when this message, the message of faith, will be almost as if it is a new doctrine, even among the people, he said, that call themselves Word of Faith. Yes. Yes. Amen. I don't know why I'm on this. I'm just on it. I heard one of the ministers that I'll be vague here in order to not be talking about people, but one of the ministers that was close to Brother Hagin. Now he's going on to be with the Lord like Brother Hagin has, but the next generation, I heard him with my own ears say, well, I can't tell if God's going to heal somebody or not. You just never can tell. I thought, one generation, that generation's already lost the revelation of the message of faith. Well, not here, not on our watch. Amen. So there are the principles of faith, and we must stay with preaching those principles. And I'm going through another series in my church right now, just line upon line, faith. Because we need to constantly refresh ourselves on the principles of faith. So there are the principles of faith, and they're revealed in the Word, but then there's the attitude of faith. It's also revealed in the Word. There's the spirit of faith, you might say. Now, the word spirit in the New Testament sometimes refers to the Holy Spirit, of course. Sometimes it refers to the human spirit. Sometimes it refers to evil spirits. And those are the primary three ways that the word spirit is used in the New Testament. However, here, whenever it says the spirit of faith, here in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, he's not talking about demon spirits, obviously, that's out. He's not talking about really the human spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't fit the way he said it. But it's a little like what he said, I think the way he's using it here. Let's go over to Galatians. Galatians says something that... sixth chapter, I believe it is. He uses this phrase, this term, in a way that I believe is a similar way he used it in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to Galatians 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So when he says spirit of meekness here, is he talking about that there's a spirit apart from the Holy Spirit called the spirit of meekness? No. Is he talking about the human spirit? Not really. I mean, that doesn't even make sense either. He's talking about the attitude that you go with, isn't he? I mean, how many of you know we can go to people to restore them and say, well, you know, if you were spiritual like me, you wouldn't have fallen. But I can pray for you that you get restored, you know. I don't know why you did what you did, but see, that's not the right attitude. That's not God. That's what he's talking about here, about the way you go is important. You know, and so that's what he said. Now go back here to Ephesians. Well, we maybe just not too far here. Ephesians, let's notice what it says here in chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. It says in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. Now that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not a demon spirit. And your human spirit's not in your mind. So what's he talking about? Can you see there's a fourth way that the word spirit is used in the New Testament? That's pretty easy to see, isn't it? The spirit of your mind. He's talking about the attitude of your mind. I believe that's probably one of the best ways. That the attitude of your mind. Best ways probably to describe it. Now, I mean, we use that term today when somebody says, you know, well, I'm, you know, maybe they just lost their job or something like that, and you know, they're real down, and you go talk to them, and they say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go get me a better job. And we might say something like this: that's the spirit. Yeah. You know, what are we saying? That's the attitude you're going to have, rather than sit here and stew in your juices, you know. You know, and so we use it that way today. But the thing we've got to always say whenever we talk like this is that the Holy Spirit is involved in this. He inspires certain attitudes. Faith will inspire certain attitudes. I'm always making attitude adjustments. Have you heard about the bear yet? That's an attitude adjustment. Some of you don't know what the bear is. Anybody know what the bear is? You haven't heard about the bear? Hadn't Pastor Morgan told you about the bear? Whenever bear is getting a bad attitude. Some of you didn't know what I was talking about. Then they make him stop and shout and dance. And remember, right? Raise his hands. That's an attitude adjustment. It works. But the Holy Spirit gets in that because it's an act of faith. Amen. You can get the Holy Spirit to come on you and so by expressions of faith. Hallelujah. All right. So just a little bit of clarification there. Now, so like I said, the principles of faith can be, they're in the Word and they can be taught. The attitude or the spirit of faith is in the Word too, and it can be taught. Now, we always want to say that people sometimes, they just think that faith is a positive mental attitude. I had a friend of mine, actually from the high school I went to and growing up, she came to Bible school the same time I did. We went first year together. And she quit after second year, after first year, didn't go to second year. And I said, well, why aren't you coming back? I was trying to encourage her to come back. And she said, no. She said, all they're preaching is a positive mental attitude. I said, you're missing the whole thing. You're missing the whole thing. Missing the whole thing. This is not a mental message we're preaching. It's not just an attitude we're preaching. This is something that comes, I remember yesterday we talked about revelation of the Word, lighting the Spirit of God, lighting your spirit on fire with the revelation of the Word on the inside, and it comes up out of you, and it produces a spirit of faith. It's the source of it is not an attitude. The source of it is the spirit realm and the Word in your spirit. Amen. I'm talking about the source of the spirit of faith. And it rises up and affects your attitude, but it's not just a positive mental attitude. Amen. We spent some time on that yesterday, so we won't take any more time, and we could spend a lot more time on that. But the thing I want you to see is the principles of faith can be taught, but the spirit of faith is caught. You have to catch it. Amen. It's contagious. You get around people that have the spirit of faith, and you'll start having insight into what faith really looks like. You'll start understanding it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you can get the principles with your head, but you catch the spirit of faith with your heart. The heart of man is where you've got to catch these things. And so that's what the Bible means when Numbers 14:24, the Bible said Caleb had another spirit with him, and he followed God fully. He had the spirit of faith. If Caleb had a different approach to the giants and the walled cities and a different outlook on it, because he was holding to what God had said. He was holding to how God had said, I'm going to give you this land. He said, I have given it to you. You go possess it. It's the way he said it. Yeah. Amen. So, but he just kept on looking right past the giants and looked at what God said. God said, he's given this to us. Yeah. Amen. Now, so the spirit of faith is a spirit of possessing and going after what God said is yours. It receives. It has a take and possess attitude. And that's what God's telling us we need to get a hold of. Praise the Lord. It's very aggressive. It's very assertive. And the reason I was talking about the sovereignty doctrine, I just remembered right now when I was talking about the sovereign doctrine, because the sovereignty doctrine makes everybody sit back and wait on God to initiate everything. If God initiates it, then I'll have it. And that's why it's such a damnable doctrine, because the devil moves into that and said, well, I'll move into that. Amen. And so, but the spirit of faith doesn't think that God is the one that has to initiate everything. The woman with the issue of blood initiated her own healing. Blind Bartimaeus initiated his own healing. But the sovereignty doctrine kind of makes everybody be passive. Makes everybody sit back and wait. Sing kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. As I've said before, he'll come by all right, but like Pastor Morgan said last night in a different way, he'll come right on by. Yeah. You gotta reach out and be assertive and grab onto what you want. That's a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's very aggressive. It's very assertive. Remember, the Bible said the violent take it by force. That's a spirit of faith. The spirit of faith doesn't make you ask the ground in front of you if you can step on it. Amen. I mean, one of my spiritual sons said that. I said, I'll give you credit once, and now I'm not even mentioning his name. I'm just going to take next time it's all mine, you know. But that's the way a lot of people are spiritually. They're sort of, can I? Sure, God said it's yours. You go get it. If God said it's yours, don't be praying about it. Go get it. Amen. Hallelujah. We just recently, we own a piece of land. We were going to build a house on it, and something wasn't just sitting right with me. And anyway, there's a piece of land. The piece of land we have is kind of behind another piece of land, and the road's up front, and then there's a house up there with a strip of land along the road, and then our land behind that. And it was always bugging me that guy was there. I mean, I don't like to drive past somebody else's house to get to mine. And so we were getting ready to build our house back there, and I was going to plant all these big pine trees and hide him out, you know, and all, so I can't even see him. And but something was snagging us. So I said, Lord, I got to know what this is. And I got to praying about it, and the Lord said, claim his house. I said, all right. And so we claimed his house. Well, he texted us and said, do you want to buy my house? And I said, we might. I didn't say everything the Lord said to me. I said, we'll come over and look at it. And we went through it and everything, and it's a nice big house. We're gonna do some remodeling on it. But anyway, he said, I don't even want to sell this. He said, I just got done finishing this all out. I just finished a nice shed right here, and it's only built recently. He said, and my kids love it here. He got all this land here along the road. We got, you know, fields, and they can run their dirt bikes up and down these hills we built right here. And I mean, they love it, and the kids love it, and they don't want to sell it, but I don't know why. I just wanted to know if you wanted to buy it. So we said, yes, sir, we're making the deal. We'll go to the lawyer right now. And draw up the papers and everything, and that's one of the things we're doing this week. I've been on the phone with my wife. Hallelujah. And he started backpedaling, and I said, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I said, this is my house. Yeah, I'm not asking permission now because the Lord said, claim it. I'm not asking, is it okay, Lord? Is it okay? Can I have it? No, whenever the Lord says it's yours, just go get it. Just go get it. Amen. Praise God. Acts like it's yours. I told my wife, he needs to get out of our house. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, if God says it's yours, don't pray about it. Go get it. Hallelujah. Don't complain about what's not working. Just go get it. Tell your neighbor, go get it. That's the spirit of faith is what it is. It's a reap, receive, take, possess spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. In fact, I don't know if this is a good time to do this. In fact, let's not. I'll start that next session. Here's another characteristic of the spirit of faith. We could preach on this for 2 weeks. We're not going to, but we could. I was thinking on the way out here, I think I could literally preach on faith for 5 years every day and never preach the same sermon twice. You say, you're exaggerating. Well, actually, if you look at all my notes and how often in healing school I preached on faith, I mean, it's just, you can't, somebody said, well, I haven't even preached on faith yet. You haven't preached the Bible yet. You need to preach the Bible. All right, so here's another characteristic of the spirit of faith. Are you ready? It don't depend on other people to do all your praying for you and to do all your believing for you. People sometimes in my church, I'm sure any pastor's got this, that's been pastoring more than a day. There's people that they come to church because their wife brings the whole family to church. But if their wife's out of town on work or something like that, then they don't come to church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They don't have a spirit of faith. You know what I'm talking about? I said, they don't have a spirit of faith. They're dependent on their wife to keep their spiritual life going and keep them in church and all of that. Well, somebody say amen. It's all true anyhow. The Bible said that remember the Bible said one of the kinds of ground had no root in themselves. Remember in Mark 4, had no root in themselves. There's some people that have no root into the Word of God themselves. They're just latching on to somebody else's root. And as soon as that person dies and goes to heaven, their whole spiritual life falls apart. That's not a spirit of faith. Amen? Amen. How many of you don't depend on somebody else every morning to wake up and give you their clothes to wear? Anybody in here wake up this morning and make a call? Can you give me, a call to somebody? Can you give me your clothes to wear? Anybody? I want to pray for stupid people. No, we don't do that. I'm just having fun. You're not stupid. But why would you, if you don't depend on somebody else to give you their clothes to wear every day, why would you depend on somebody else to give you their faith every day? You need to develop some faith of your own. And you don't have a spirit of faith until you have. Not trying to be mean about it. I'm just trying to tell the truth. Amen. Not mad at anybody. Had a great night's sleep. Praise God. What's that commercial? I slept at Holiday Inn, so I'm doing good. You know, no, I'm not at Holiday Inn. Anyway, that's the spirit. That's the spirit of faith. You have a root into the Word of God yourself. The spirit of faith. I'll just say this one before we won't take much time with this one. The spirit of faith says the Word is enough. The Word is enough. Hallelujah. the Word is enough. In other words, it doesn't wait for the Holy Spirit to initiate a stand of faith. It just acts on the Word. Amen. I feel like some people that if I would call them out of the congregation, in my congregation, call them out and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and just simply quote a Bible verse, they would release their faith because I said it acting like I was prophesying. But they won't release their word just because, I mean, their faith because it's written in the Bible. That's not a spirit of faith. Whoa. Amen. I mean, the word's enough for us. Tell your neighbor, the word's enough for me. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait on God to move some way by the Holy Spirit in order to believe the Bible, in order to stand on the word. Amen. I whenever I talk about this, I sometimes think of a story Brother Copeland told. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not. But years ago, he was preaching. he actually was preaching an outdoor meeting somewhere. I think it was somewhere down in Texas or somewhere down there where it gets real hot. I mean, there's certain sections of the country that are nice in the summer, and some sections are nice in the winter. You all laugh at us all year long. You got it nice out here all the time. But anyway, but up in Iowa, we laugh at the people down in Florida in the summertime, and they laugh at us in the wintertime. But Brother Copeland was preaching down in Texas, real hot in the summertime, I guess. He's an open air meeting, and he's planned to lay hands on the sick, actually anoint them with oil, and minister to them at the end of his preaching. Well, Brother Copeland's been known to preach long sometimes. Amen. That's not my business. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying that that son sitting there warming that bottle of olive oil, it kept heating it up. And he didn't think anything about it, but it's sitting out there in the sun. And that bottle's heating up. Well, he preached and got done, and he said, "All right, I'm going to lay hands on the sick and anoint you with oil." And he said he began to anoint them with oil, and being that that oil was warm, they started thinking it was warm because of some special manifestation of the Spirit. Brother Copeland didn't realize at first what was going on, but they'd feel that warm oil. And he said, person after person, he said, usually a percentage of people will release their faith in these healing lines. And you can pretty much expect it to be said, but a person after person was getting healed right there on the spot. Boom, healed. And he's like, what is going on? These people are acting like this oil or something. And then he realized, he said, they think it's supernatural. He didn't put it together right away. They think this is supernatural. See, they thought it was supernatural, so they released their faith. Now, it shouldn't take something like that for us to release our faith. You ever heard of gimmicks? You know, here's some oil. We got this water out of the Jordan River, you know, and this is where Jesus was baptized, and so there's a special anointing on this, and you send in your money, and we'll send this to you, and you'll get healed. And people release their faith, and they get healed on that. Now, somebody said, well, that was a gimmick. Yeah, but see, it's not God. Gimmicks are not God. But if somebody releases their faith, God will honor their faith. So I'm not preaching that you should go do gimmicks. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that's why sometimes you hear some of those things work. It's not because God's into gimmicks. It's that people release their faith. But see, those are carnal people. I hate to break it to them, but they're carnal people. They're not releasing their faith. In other words, for them, the word's not enough. But for our spiritual people, the word is enough. Remember what the person said in the Bible? Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed, the centurion. Just say the word. That's all I need is the word. Now, we could get in the ditch on the other. We could get in the ditch on the other side of that and say, well, we don't need any manifestations of the Spirit. We just got the word. And that's a ditch on the other side. See, God moves in line with the Holy Spirit. I mean, in line with the word. The Holy Spirit moves in line with the word. And we want the move of the Spirit as well. But we don't need to wait for Him to initiate things before anything happens. You know, you can, if you're just getting heavy about some circumstances in your life, you can stir up yourself. Remember, the Bible said, stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. David had, you know, some, remember his whole city was burned over there in Ziklag, the Bible told the story. And the Bible said they, his people talked about stoning him. And the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yes.
You can encourage yourself. Just go to the Word and encourage yourself.
Right.
Stir yourself up. Do your dance right there in your bedroom. Say, glory, hallelujah.
Yes.
And you don't have a bit of feelings, but you just act on the Word in faith.
Right.
Before you know it, the anointing comes on you.
Yes.
Amen. So that's the spirit of faith, where the Word is enough. You just act on the Word because God said so.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor that's good preaching, whether you're saying amen or not. Amen. Hang around people that just initiate things all the time by their own faith. Pastor Nancy made the statement one time. I liked it. She said 95% of what you're going to receive is going to be just you just initiating it with your own faith. God does initiate some things sometimes. Amen. But see, there's a lot of things we and I have to initiate ourselves. Just take God at His word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's take a break, and then we'll come back in 10 minutes.